Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Today I'm going to be chatting with Lenny Reed from Dynamite Diesel Products, and I wanted to chat with him about a trend that's, I guess, coming to light more now, which are counterfeit truck parts. People buying a product thinking it's from brand, you know, A, they get it, they find out it's not. It's a knockoff product. So I wanted to ask him about his experience with that as a manufacturer. Also ways that you can avoid that as a truck owner, questions you should ask, things you can do to avoid being in that situation. And they also have a really cool program with injector nozzles and helping clean up the smoke on older diesel trucks. I wanted to chat with him in detail about that and ways you could take advantage of it to get some better atomization, better fuel economy on your older diesel truck. Before we get to it, though, I wanted to give a shout out to some of our partners that help make the Diesel Podcast possible. First is Target Sports USA. If you're into other hobbies besides trucks, you like to hit the range, hunt, do competitive sports, things like that. If you go to targetsportsusa.com/dieselPC, it's going to take you right to their ammo membership program, which there's a whole bunch of benefits to it. It's really cool. One of the main ones is it's $99 a year, and you get free shipping whether you order one box, 10 boxes, 20 boxes. So if you're ordering online, you know how quickly those shipping fees can add up, so they save you money there. You also get an instant 8% discount throughout the year whenever you order a product. If you're looking for something specific and are having trouble finding it, once they get it in stock, you get notified first so you can take advantage, get it headed your way. They have a huge sale coming up on April 25th where that instant discount is going to go to 12%. So if you go to targetsportsusa.com/dieselPC, you'll find all the details. Some really cool things that they do is you get entered in to win two free giveaways. The first is an all-expense-paid hunting trip to Colorado. So that includes airfare, accommodations, meals, also the fee for the hunt itself, complimentary meat processing, shipping back to you. So it's a great way to potentially be able to get a once-in-a-lifetime hunting trip. The second thing they do is you get automatically entered into win a brand new F-150. So if you're looking to keep some miles off your diesel truck, something to go point A to point B, or you know, work hard in the outdoors, you're automatically entered for a chance to win that. Head on over to targetsportsusa.com/dieselPC. You'll find all the details there. Also, our friends over at Kershaw Knives, they have a 40% off MSRP code for you guys. So if you're looking for a knife for hunting, fishing, EDC, something around the job site, they've definitely got you covered with a complete lineup to meet any budget. Different opening mechanisms, blade steel, blade design, handle shapes. If you go to kershaw.kaiusa.com, use code 2024DIESEL40, that'll get you 40% off MSRP. All right, let's get to today's podcast with Lenny and talking with him about counterfeit truck parts, ways to make sure we don't buy them, and a really cool injector nozzle program that they have. Lenny, welcome back to Diesel Podcast. How you been?
Good morning, Patrick. I've been really, really, really good.
I always love our early podcasts.
Well, I just like getting done out of the way because the rest of the day always turns to shit.
How busy you are. So I'm like, I know Lenny likes to chat early in the morning, so got my coffee going and everything. So I had, there are a couple things I was thinking about, and I thought it'd be great to chat with you with the amount of experience and probably what you guys see, you know, on a daily basis. One of them is I get a listener who will, they've got a diesel truck. It you know, it's not a new one, so it's out of warranty. They might be the second owner, third owner. And they want to get it reliable or it's having an issue, but money or how much money they want to invest in it is kind of, that's the challenge of it, right? So they'll start to look for, they'll say, hey, what do you think about, say, the set of injectors? This guy just pulled them out of the truck. You think this would be a good buy for this price? And to me, that always throws up a red flag to me because I don't know the history of those injectors. I don't know how many miles are on them. I don't know if they were taken care of. And during our podcast for years, you've talked about how if something's not right in them, it could cost you a motor. So I wanted to ask you about that. Like when people call and say, hey, I've got a set of your injectors, I got them off Marketplace or bought them from a buddy or something like that, how you can try to make an educated, good decision when it comes to purchasing parts, and should you even do it on the secondary market?
So the first thing that comes to mind is, a couple days ago, Tim, our lead sales guy, was like, man, I spend half my day listening to dudes tell me about how shitty their truck runs and how they've got used dynamite injectors they bought secondhand. And then they send in the injectors. We go to calibrate them. We go to look at them, and they're not even dynamite injectors. They were somebody's core. So that really does suck, because people are out there that are going to try to lie to save a buck, I guess, maybe. And then secondly, I also see this. You see like Exergy, S&S, Dynamite, big injectors used. And then it always says like, I have a fresh, clean bill of health right from S&S, right from Dynamite, right from Exergy. I would say that stay away from anything that doesn't have a good, clean bill of health, period. Like, it's not even on the radar. Like, you saw it, you just passed it. It's like the ugly girl. You just passed it. So, but if you see that somebody's got some S&S 200s for sale and they're half off a retail and it comes with a clean bill of health and it fits your motor, it fits. If you're looking for 1,000 horsepower and you bought a 200% over injector, even if it's cheap, it's still too big. So if it fits your build, if it fits your goal, it comes with a clean bill of health to where you could call Dynamite or Exergy or S&S and be like, hey, did so-and-so just send these things in? And can I get a copy of that sheet? And they're willing to help you out by saying, you betcha. Then that's probably a pretty good set of injectors that just either they were too big for him or they're too small for him, whatever the case may be. He might have blown up the motor. He's just looking to get out of it and go with something totally different this time. But if you're going to buy something used and it comes with a clean bill of health, I don't have a problem with that. Like, I think that's completely acceptable. And, you know, I think that all three of those brands are pretty high class, pretty good brands. So, you know, you're good to go. Those three brands, tooling and technology wise, you know, those three brands are pretty solid. Like, I mean, you know, I hate to brag, but this spring we've spent 750 grand on more tools. And the EDM is now 4 years old for us. We've been partnering up with people to manufacture nozzles, you know, for 4 years, and we've had to go through some learning lumps. And each year we keep getting those factories to do things better and use better metals and different metals, different heat treats, the penetration of heat treat. We've learned a lot. And, you know, we're still on our own path to buying our own grinders and building our own nozzles. So that is still something that's coming to fruition. But with the tools that we bought this spring, you know, we bought a Bosch 708, which is Bosch's German Clydesdale, basically. It's their big workhorse. It's got four lines in it that we use. And the guys upstairs, Zach and Coy, use that daily, because when they're doing the reman program, I want to see Bosch. I want to see genuine Bosch numbers going into a genuine Bosch injector. So we're using the 708 because it's able to give us Bosch data. So when we calibrate something stock, we can look at the actual factory Bosch plan coming out of the workhorse. That thing's got plenty of horsepower, so they can chuck up, you know, multiple injectors. They can come back 20 minutes later and they've got numbers that are Bosch for what was manufactured by Bosch to start out with. So that's why we bought that stand, bought that from Arcs Diesel, and they were using it because Brandon is buddies with some people in Germany. He just, more than anything, that dude's a really curious guy and a really smart guy. So when Brandon Hart bought it, he just wanted to see how close Commerill was to the mechanical stuff that he works on the daily. And he's injecting in those like tractors 5, 6, 7 times what we're injecting in pickup trucks. So he knew that it wasn't anywhere close to where he needed it. So he had the thing sitting around for 3 years and called me up and said, Lenny, you want this thing? And Lenny said, absolutely. And I drove to Fleece's place, dropped off one of our stands. So they have a pump stand. And then I swung through Hart's, picked that up, actually got a tour, which was amazing because, you know, Hart's Diesel is somebody I admire, you know, turbos and pumps and what have you. I get there. We decide, you know, I'm going to buy the stand. We load it up. That's, say, 5 o'clock. And then, fortunately for me, because I don't like to drink beer, Brandon does. He had enough beer to get us to dinner. And then we got back from dinner, which was, say, 9 o'clock. And he didn't run out of beer. And he said, "Oh, there's a fresh bottle from our Christmas party." So, I opened up a fresh bottle of whiskey, and then at 5:30 in the morning, Brandon's son walked in the door to come to work. And we were standing there, in the turbo shop, still looking at parts and pieces and widgets, and realized that we'd literally drank all night long while staring at cool. I mean, I got to see the whole shop, like CNC side of it. I got to watch compressor wheels, getting made in the middle of the night. I got to eat just stacks of pistons that they make for their tractors, stacks of connecting rods, the dyno area, the hole in the wall. At one point, he had a turbine wheel exit the dyno room, so it left, the SFI approved downpipe and all the stuff. The concussion from when the turbo blew up knocked out all of the lights in the dyno bay, like exploded them. And then the 6-inch turbine wheel left the building through the wall
Wow.
and shot its, yeah, legit, like chewed its way through a wall and then chewed its way into a dumpster outside that they put all the metal shavings in from the machine shop. So, it's another point of safety. Don't stand by a turbine wheel when it's on, full kilt, especially one that weighs like as much as a football. So it was an amazing experience, really good. And it's been fun to, be able to get in the friend circle with those guys because they're super sharp, and it's, I've always admired that company. So it's awesome being a part of that now. But so there's that. We got the Bosch 708, got the second EDM. The second EDM has two heads on it. So for our patented technology where we're putting the hydromechanical pilots in there, that can be done in one CNC process. So Brian, the guy that operates it, he sets a nozzle on the table. It runs the primary holes. And then the second operation is it shows the second head in, and the second head does the pilots. And then Brian, when it's totally done with all the pilots and the primaries, he picks up the nozzle and it moves on to the guys at hydro grinding. So that we got the 708, we got the EDM. And then on my way back from that, I was on the phone with Skyler, and he was pretty concerned that even though we were picking up some efficiency, that I sold two of the armadillos, one to fleece and one to armor. And Skyler was like, "Dude, if we break down, like we're screwed. There's gonna be somebody standing around here." So I hung up the phone and I bought another test stand on the way home, which, isn't really my problem anymore because I hired a CFO. Her name's Rebecca. And I went ahead and ordered it, bought it. And then Rebecca got to find out about it later. But fortunately, that thing has taken Adrian's productivity, knocking on wood, from 5 or 6 of production. He's up to like 9 sets a day. And the accuracy of the new stand is so accurate that even on piezo stuff, which, I've bought damn near every brand of test stand you could possibly imagine, and they all suck with piezo, except for this one, like the new one that's top secret at this point. That thing is really accurate, and it does piezos, it handles them, manages them, runs them perfectly the first time. So yeah, we're on fire around here. And going back to what you just said is we're on fire because like a lot of guys, they're not buying a new truck every 18 months or every 24 months or every 36 months. There's a resurgence of 12 and 15 year old vehicles, 20 year old vehicles. And now that we have new technology to put into the old vehicles, man, it's awesome. I love it because these dudes are saving money, and they've got enough money to go buy. To me, it's more important for a young man to purchase a camp trailer or a boat and spend time with his wife and kids rather than have a $1,200 truck payment every month. So if I can help be a part of his dreams with his family and hopefully, raise his kids correctly by spending more time with them on the weekends instead of just working his butt off to pay for his truck payment. Like, no family wants to jump in daddy's truck and drive around for 48 hours, but everybody will jump in daddy's reliable truck that still tows the camp trailer, still tows the razors, still tows the boat, and gets to a cool spot and hangs out with his family. Like, to me, part of my legacy, I want to make sure that people quit thinking about diesel in the oil and coal you know, I just hate that stigmatism of our industry. And, you know, if I can help young guys spend more time with their families, hanging out, doing stuff they love, razors, dirt bikes, whatever, then, you know, I'd like to be a part of that too.
I think that's where this all can converge in a way, because there's that resurgence or that re-interest in older trucks. And then there's also, hey, how can I make it reliable? Or it already had injectors from 2008 or 2010 or 2005. And the technology way back then isn't what it is now. And I saw a video that you guys had posted on the Dynamite Diesel Instagram page. I think it was a second gen. I think it was a 12 valve. And the guy did a before and after startup video with, yeah, I think, nozzles that he yep, got from you guys.
Yep.
And it was, who knows when those nozzles and those ejectors were put into that 98 truck, maybe back in 98, I don't know. But I get a lot of listeners that say, hey, I've got this truck, I want it reliable. I don't want the $1,200 a month payment. I want this because it's simpler, I can afford it, I can spend my money wisely, make as much power, if not a little bit more with it. And before the podcast, we were talking about the nozzle dealer program you guys have right now. So I definitely wanted to ask you on the podcast about that, what it entails and what you guys are doing for truck owners out there.
So I had this idea again, you know, like I'm trying to get rid of the stigmatism of what, whether it's a Subaru driver, a Prius driver, or a guy that's driving a brand new diesel truck with a DPF on it. Everybody looks at the coal rolling out the tailpipe and they just assume that, you know, we didn't graduate high school and, you know, that girl next to us is probably our sister. So I want to get away from that. Like, I really hate that stigmatism that's come about our industry. And it's not just because you got black smoke doesn't mean it's making power. Like, usually the air fuel ratio is so rich that you're not making power, especially not the kind of power you think you have. With the pilot hole technology, plus the fact that we're using OEM quality tools, we don't need to do that anymore. It's not just a matter of buying a stock nozzle, shoving a bunch of extrude home media through it, blowing out the K factor, getting it to flow more and make a bunch of power, but at the expense of like having to have it smoke. And with the cost of fuel being $5 and $6 a gallon in some states, and the fact that our Federal Reserves are now at zero, fuel's not going to get any cheaper this year. So what we did is, I had this idea. I'm real big on like liberty and freedom and things like that. And Independence Day, it's 4th of July. So I hit up my sales guy or the marketing team. And I was like, hey, look, I got an idea. I want to do a $400 nozzle sale. So the customer has to send in their parts to Dynamite, their injectors. We tear them apart. We take their used nozzles. We throw them in this 5-gallon bucket that I got. And the 5-gallon bucket is going to be weighed on the 4th of July. And whoever guesses how much weight is in the bucket of old used crap nozzles from, it could be from OEM or it could be from, you know, cheap China, like knockoff injector, super brand, lots of power, lots of smoke. And then people buy it. They pay good money for it. They hate it. You know, if you're diesel expert, is a guy that's only ran one set of injectors other than factory, he's not an expert. That's a white belt. Don't take like expert advice from a white belt. Like, you'll get your ass whooped every time. So we're trying this $400 nozzle sale to get all that junk off the road. And it's been awesome because like we're getting those videos showing people, you know, drivability, cold start. I'm getting so many people messaging me daily. Bro, I can't believe how good this thing comes off a stoplight. Wow, the fuel economy is better. Wow, the smoke control is better. Which, you know, it's funny because we had one guy, Skyler, modified a set of Cummins ISX15s, and every single person that has done ISX15 with us is like super stoked, except for this one guy. And he sends his parts in here, and Skyler's like, I don't really know what to do because I've never had this complaint. And the guy basically said, my fuel economy is no better. I can't tell any difference in the way this thing runs. You know, these were brand new that I sent to you guys to have you guys calibrate, and it doesn't run that good. And I think he claimed that one of them went bad. So, all right, I jump over there, I walk over there and I look at the paperwork and I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. And I look at the injectors and yes, they were brand new. And the word Cummins was a different font than normal legal Cummins font. Well, then I call the customer. I'm like, hey, buddy, so where'd you get these from? Well, my local parts house. Now, a Cummins IS-615 injector, even reman, is like $1,000 to $1,300. This dude bought a set for like 1,100 bucks. And I'm like, well, these things, like, we've got tools that fit over the injector, and our tools don't even fit your injectors correctly, which means to me that they're not made by Cummins or anybody that made a part for Cummins. They say Cummins on them, but it's not even the legal Cummins font. These are complete total counterfeit knockoffs. And the guy's like, well, crap, it's my semi truck. I just spent $2,700 having this thing towed because it broke down when this injector died. And I'm like, man, I'm really sorry, but I didn't sell these injectors to you. I just modified them. So trying to help you, I will, if you want to get a genuine, genuine set of remands, like genuine, Cummins stuff, I'll modify those for you for free and make you happy. But I didn't do anything wrong here. So, I quoted him for a set of injectors that we were going to sell him and told him I'd do the labor for free. So I gave him a quote for all of it. And he says, man, I can't swing it. Understood. And he called me back about a week later and he says, well, I'm driving this goddamn truck and I can't afford not to do it because this is currently running on some of this same China stuff that I bought. And I'm like, buddy, like, how many times does it take to learn a lesson, right? So he ordered a genuine set of remands that we got in. Skyler took them apart, did all the calibration, did the abrasive flow machining, and I'm sure that guy's going to be happy this time. But again, like we're getting to that point now where all of these vehicles are getting to be old enough that the technology side of it that the OEMs used, the way that they're machined and tooled, and like the even the solenoids, just the way the armatures work and the way that the solenoid works, these little tiny differences make all the difference. And you can't tell unless you've got them like in a stand that has rate shape. And still, even if it goes through rate shape, we can't tell you how long it's going to last. We don't know. So when we're working with manufacturers, long before we ever sell it to customers, we've been testing all of the non-genuine parts to make sure that we actually like them and that they're actually reliable. So, back to your first question, like buying used stuff and buying non-genuine stuff, it's a new market, and I get it because people are stressed, like eggs are super expensive, beef, dog food. Jesus criminy, I go to the dog food store now. I learned a lesson with dog food. You buy cheap dog food, you spend more at the vet. You buy expensive dog food, you spend less at the vet, your dog's healthier, but your dog, my dog, she's fat. So she eats like, I don't know. We got one little dog and one big dog, and they eat about $120 in dog food every like week. So, but they're healthy, and I'm not going to the vet all the time. So I feel like I kind of owe it to my dog because I like my dog more than I like most humans. Fair enough.
That's I saw recently on social media, and I wanted to ask you about counterfeit products. It was this post and a YouTube video, and basically it was somebody had ordered a part from a well-known place. They got it, and there was a problem with it or something. They contacted the company, which was a smaller company, and the guy's like, "I've never had my product do this. Send me a picture." So he gets a picture of it, ends up ordering one of these, and it turned out to be a counterfeit part. What they're trying to track down, figure out how it got there. But I see that all the time. And I think as a consumer, it can be tough to know, just because you see the name and the logo on a website or you're at a parts counter, like you mentioned that guy with the ISX, and oh yeah, it's genuine Cummins parts. Well, is it? How do you really know? How do you know what you're buying is actually what you wanted or what you need? And I think you make product, you have dealers, you have a distribution network. You could speak to that better than I could. Is how do we protect ourselves from that? How do we make sure that the part that we order is actually from the company?
So, sidebar, there, do you remember the crazy hot matrix from like 10, 12 years ago where the dudes at the tactical place and his lawyers up there talking about like hot chicks versus crazy chicks? All right. So like if you're dating a two crazy, but she's a 10 hot. Like, be careful because she's either a tranny or a unicorn and you should bring her in and study her. And they're like, well, what about hot guys? Like, what about crazy hot guys? He's like, well, it's a totally different scale, but it's a lot more simple. Let me explain it to you. Like, there's cute and there's money. So it goes back to that. Like, if you've got money, then spend it on real parts and you'll get a 10 slash two. But you're not ever going to get a 10 slash two when it comes to chicks or parts if you show up as a four. And a four doesn't really blow a lot of dough on anything good. So, sidebar, kind of a joke, but you can't do it. Like, if it seems too good to be true, it's too good to be true. And that also kind of circles back that, I said my sales guys are always hearing about parts that don't run well. And then they show up here. We've been lasering our parts since 2016. Well, that was 8 years ago now. So 8 years ago, we started putting our part numbers and a date code on the injector. So if you've got something that's supposedly dynamite or supposedly Randy's or supposedly Suncoast or supposedly anybody, almost every single person out there right now has a laser, and they would put a part number on it and a date code on it and all these other things. Some companies are even fancier than us, and they're putting those little SKU codes that you can scan, and then it takes you off to somebody's website. If it's there's a lot of counterfeit parts. That's all there is to it. And I blame COVID for a little bit of that, because even during COVID, the genuine OEMs of almost anything, pick your, poison right now, were out of inventory. And even genuine OEMs were having to, there was a shortage on steel. So genuine OEMs had to go see new steel suppliers. So the parts weren't being manufactured incorrectly, but it was being manufactured on incorrect steel or non-tested steel. So warranties went up hugely through COVID, but it also opened up the gates to these little tiny knockoff shops that said, well, I could do that for this guy, so now I'm just going to do it for retail people. And there's still plenty of it out there. So I do feel bad for people, but use common sense. If it's too good to be true, like if you can buy a fresh new set of remands for what Dynamite charges for cores, they're not fresh remands. It's not real. When you take just the money, you spend this much on parts that go in the reman injector, you spend this much on labor, and Dynamite and all these other top brands are about the same money, within 4, 5, 6%. But then you've got this knockoff brand that, guarantees you a 7-year warranty, blah, 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 and all these other fancy terms, but it's half the money. Common sense. You should like let it kick in. It's too good to be true. It's not real. There's something else about it.
Common question we get from you guys a lot is, hey, I need a diesel engine. I either, I can't wait this long to get one, or normal place I get stuff from it just takes too long, or they don't have the parts in it that I need. Maybe my truck's not stock, or I tow heavy with it. I don't want to go back with just a stock engine. DFC Diesel is a sponsor of the podcast. We worked with them, hand in hand on doing episodes, answering technical questions. They have a complete lineup of Cummins, Duramax, and Powerstroke remanufactured engines that are set to a standard of ISO 9001 2015 standards, which is a huge deal in the aftermarket. And there's certain levels of quality testing, validation that are required for that. So when you get one of those engines, the type of quality that's built behind it with an industry-leading warranty that's really comprehensive. And the other thing with that is, sometimes the options that are out there, it's a basic OEM engine. You want a little bit more. You don't want to have the same failure again. So there's a bunch of different series of engines that they have, from Core, Street, Tow Haul, and also the Speed of Air series, which we've covered on the podcast before. There's a lot of really cool benefits to it. And if you have questions about that, reach out to them. If you don't know the type of engine that you're looking for, if you go to dfcdiesel.com, there's a ton of info there. You can send an email or you can reach out to them. Also, they're working with Speed of Air Pistons, which it's the only piston that pays for itself. And there's a lot of really cool technology behind it. So you can add that into your build and be able to get better fuel economy, increased power, increased torque, and better engine life out of it. Some of the most common engine applications, or series of engines that they have with that lead time. A lot of them are in stock or they have really short lead times. So you can check your favorite retailer or go to dfcdiesel.com, check them out, see what's in stock, see what you can get. If you have questions, maybe you want to do, you know, something that's outside of the normal series of engines, they have tons of choices for rods, cranks, pistons, valve train upgrades, tons of different things. So if you're in the market, definitely make sure and head on over and check them out. When the guy said, I go back to that example you gave of that semi truck and just trying, it sounded like he was just trying to get by for, you know, a little bit. I think that can happen a lot. You think, well, if these only last me 5,000 miles, I'm good, or 10,000 miles or a few months, I'll be okay. What kind of damage, destruction, horror stories, things have you heard from some of these types of injectors? Because in my mind, the way I think about it is I would have the fear of, I'd rather buy a set of injectors than have to get a long block or a short block. So I look at it like that, but I think it might vary based on the situation somebody's in, you know, where to make the sacrifice. So what kind of things have you heard or customers told you, or, you know, situations where you had an injector failure?
Obviously, like, the injector is literally the heart of your engine. And we all know what happens to us health-wise if we don't have a good heart. We don't live very long. So if your injector is firing with a poor nozzle, it's atomizing poorly. If you look at, you know, 20 years ago when even genuine OEM parts didn't have any abrasive flow machining or extrude honing or anything, they smoked way more, even genuine OEM, than our stuff does today with 30% more power than it was as the OEM. So tool quality and technology has gotten a lot better on the injector side of things. But if you've got something that's making a mess out of your current DPF on your truck, the injector's slow. It has a good nozzle on it, even from the factory. But if you get it slow by gumming it up and letting dirt settle inside of it, and you create resistance within the control valve and the control rod, the ECM sends out a signal, fire right now, but it can't, so it's delayed by 200 microseconds. Well, 200 microseconds of fuel is going to be shoved at the DPF and the SCR to capture that soot. So it goes into regen more frequently, and the more frequently it goes into regen, there's only so many life cycles or regen cycles in every DPF. So, you know, like on the emissions side of things, you know, emissions gear can be $10,000 repair. But on an engine, yeah, you can goof up a piston from having a bad nozzle or the wrong sprangle of nozzle. One of my buddies, Cody, the other day, he bought a set of injectors from us, and him and one of my guys were working on trying to get this thing dialed in. And then the tuning company, who I respect as well, was working on trying to tune it out. Well, then I get on the phone because I hear that Cody's upset, and I get on the phone with Cody. I'm like, what's going on? Well, you know, we did this, we did that. The injectors tested good. Like, Dom's thrown 322 tunes at it. He doesn't want to tune it anymore because he doesn't feel like he can fix it with tunes. Customer's going to go break in the motor. And I'm like, okay, well, who built the motor? A very reputable company. Okay, did it get, what pistons got put in it? Because in Duramaxes now, there's multiple options. Well, it was a it was either an L5P or an LML truck. But then it got a D-lipped LB7 piston put in it. So this is after work, right? Like, mind you, Lenny's not at Dynamite Diesel. Nobody's in the building. And then I was like, I needed to know that information. So I'm going to drive to work right now because I was 15, 20 minutes away from the shop. But I knew that if I didn't do it right now, I wouldn't do it at all. So I drove straight to the shop before I went home. I came inside and I took... and looked at every single Duramax nozzle and what the spray angle is. And sure enough, the spray angle of the nozzle was off by like 1 degree per side of the piston, going from, it was, like I say, it was either LML or an L5P, but going from that to the LB7, it was off. So instantly I'm like, well, that's a problem. Like, now when the customer does his break-in, we got to pull the injectors out of it. We got to make you a custom set of nozzles to match your custom set of pistons, which is why we have our custom injector order form. But this guy, being a really sharp, really local guy, buying an engine from a a really reputable place, it all didn't click until I finally got on the phone with him. I'm like, well, shit, that's how simple that was. But you know, I've been doing this for 24 years, so whenever I hear about a problem, I kind of think of it as like an opportunity, because like for me, you know, I can't really like bench press 1,000 pounds, so I'm not going to impress anybody there. But if I can outthink somebody, to me, that's like how I kind of get off. Like I like going, that sucks, that's miserable, and then figuring it out. So if I can be a part of that conversation, even if it wasn't dynamite parts, I'd still like to help people, because people respect it when somebody jumps in and goes, hey, let me help you with that. And then, you know, I've got guys that help me with stuff all the time, and I respect the heck out of them. So I just want to be there for everybody else and help them. But in this case, customer ordered a set of injectors he thought was right, and they're just not right. They were off by 1 degree per side in the piston bowl, and all these stupid little smoke issues are going to be fixed by that. There's one trick that I told them to try, which was change the copper thickness a little bit. But outside of that, we're just going to have to bring the injectors back in, put the proper spray angle for that piston in there, and it'll be fixed.
Before the podcast, we were chatting a bit about the nozzle program, and I thought it was really cool because that video really stuck in my mind, seeing that truck cold start and then cold start after. And I could tell a difference with the sound, how quickly it fired up, how it idled. There was a ton less smoke at idle. I don't know how cold it was where that customer was, but there was snow on the ground, and there was a noticeable difference with it. How, because you mentioned on the podcast before about how you want to change the perception that people who aren't enthusiasts, don't own diesel trucks, view them. How has that been going? Would you say that you're making a dent in it? Would you say the industry is? Would you say that the progress is going as planned? Is it not going fast enough? What do you think?
I think it, fast enough is a tough term to try and quantify, but I've made a difference. Like when we first, if you remember the absolute very first time I was ever on your podcast years ago, I talked about people deleting their trucks and how they should stop because the local dealership here, Dave Smith Motors, is ginormous. And they had already gotten their asses chewed by Ken Smith, the owner at that time, that if anybody trades in a deleted vehicle, they were going to get fired immediately. Because he was tired of these trucks showing up on the lot, you know, and they were moving back then 1,200 cars per month. So Imagine what his liability is if the EPA shows up when they've got 4,500 cars on the lot. And let's say that 50 of them were deleted pickup trucks. His liability is enormous, right? So he started a policy way back then. Nobody trades in anything without a DPF on it. And if we do, then, you know, like you're going to get fired. So when I heard that, a buddy of mine was actually one of the sales managers out there. And he told me that. And I was like, no shit. Like, that's crazy. Because everybody back then, everybody thought that it was more valuable to have a truck that had already been deleted. But last week, I was trying to help somebody else out. They got a file from a very popular format, which always screws up ECMs. And that format had screwed up the ECM, so the transmission was all geeked out. The cruise control buttons were in reverse flip-flop. So when you push the plus button, the truck slowed down. When you push the minus button, the truck sped up. And I was like, well, you know, like we troubleshot it for 3 days, tried to figure it out. Come to find out, the PCM in this 2016 Dodge diesel pickup truck had been scrambled. So $5,000 later, we put the thing on a trailer, hauled it down to Dodge, got them to put a new PCM in the truck, flash it to fix all of its little stupid problems. And now we've got to put all the gear back under it that he had removed years ago in order to get this thing to go down the road, because nobody out there is doing these delete tunes anymore. So I warned people years ago, quit doing it, quit doing it, quit doing it. You're not going to have support forever. And sure as shit, here we are. And then when I started telling people that, you know, smoke's not cool, smoke's not cool, there, I still get people bad mouthing me after I say, you know, like rolling coal's stupid. But There's still, I see a lot of comments now that people are like, yeah, I'm tired of the smoke. I want to clean it up. What should I do? And then you still get these like white belts and diesel performance that are like, buy some 5x14s, buy some six by your mama's phone number. Like, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what nozzle flow rate looks like. They've never studied, like, they haven't even hooked up like physics for dummies yet. Like, they don't even know what any of it's doing inside the injector, but yet they're the one that's chanting on the Facebook forums about like, let me be your expert kind of a thing and sell you some cheap Chinese garbage, and you're going to be happier maybe because it's smaller, but not happy. So again, that $400 nozzle sale is why we're doing that, because I think we're making a footprint. People like having clean power. People enjoy it.
Yeah,
Fast enough? Hell, I don't know.
it's definitely changed from that. Gosh, that episode, was that like 6 or 7 years ago? That was a long time ago that we did it and you were talking about it. And where I see things now are vastly different with parts other companies are coming up with everything, turbos, injection pumps, transmission stuff, tuning. All of it is so different, but we still have that large group of pre-2007 and a half trucks that are out there. People who are going back to them or looking to get their first one. And so it's almost this old technology, new technology, and you're kind of caught in the middle because you're making injectors for both of them. So you have almost, I don't want to say two different sets of goals you have to reach because a lot of it's the same, but you have that DPF, then you don't want to clog it. Nobody wants to clog it. Nobody wants to have to get a new one. But then you got that 7.3 or that second gen VP truck or that early common rail or that LB7 where you have all this information, all these things that you've learned doing 6.7 Cummins injectors and, LML stuff where those guys can get a really quality product that makes more power and just doesn't smoke, just performs better, starts better. So it's a really interesting time.
The stuff that we learn on almost every single thing, every single project makes me think about other projects that we're currently selling. And then I'm constantly looking back at the older stuff, trying to figure out how to make it even better. And so Chase Fleece and I are buddies, and he's got a second gen VP44 truck that he drives not every single day, but pretty often, right? And he's always testing his Fleece Cheetah turbos on that truck. So he's like, I need to get something smoke-free, clean, blah, 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 blah. And a local shop here said that they got a set of our injectors one time and one of his turbos and a Quadzilla box with their programming. And it always was very reliable, very stable, didn't get hot, didn't smoke. And I was like, okay, well, I'd like to drive the truck. So I got in the truck and this thing ran like a cheetah on fire. Like, that thing was, it hauled. I looked at the guy driving, I'm like, bro, this thing's 600 plus horsepower. And he's like, yeah, maybe. And I'm like, it makes 1500 degrees. Like, imagine if this thing's 600 and it actually makes, I mean, that's acceptable smoke for 600 horsepower on a drop-in turbo. He's like, well, yeah, I guess, but I was kind of assuming it was going to be like 400, 450. And we put on a dyno, and the thing made 470 with no programming. It was 600 horsepower with the tuner on. So instantly, I'm like, all right, what do we do differently? Well, we changed needle valves. We went to DLC coated needle valves with a different shape and a different contour. We went from a VCO style nozzle, which those things came stock with, to a SAC style nozzle. We EDM'd them and we AFM'd them in-house. I had to borrow that truck, dyno the hell out of it, and then revamp our entire recipes, because the RV275 injector way back in the OG day was like the most common drop-in 40 horsepower injector for those trucks. They were in really good. They're not that smoky. It was just a nice drop-in for everybody that was a member of the turbo diesel register and their offspring. That is like 7 by 10 thousandths holds. Our new stuff for those trucks is 6 hole, and none of those holes are 10 thousandths. They're all smaller than that. So we're actually using the atomization and the efficiency. We're creating more horsepower per the dyno, but we're doing it on a lower volume than even the RV275 back in the OG day. That took us probably 6 months to get straight and square. And I'm sending parts to Chase Fleece and all these other friends of mine, throw these in. Nobody ever does it that day. They're going to do it when they get around to it. And then, they're going to get on the dyno. They're not going to get on dyno. We test, we collect data, and we change the recipes. So yeah, like it's a for all the young guys or the people that are, buying trucks that are 20 years old, you're never going to find even a 7.3. You put pilots in a 7.3 nozzle, you've never driven a 7.3 with better throttle response. Smoke control is really good. They just work really good. So even though I'm not building 7.3 injectors anymore, I'm still building nozzles to help all those guys that want to reman those injectors. It's a good time for old trucks. It's a really good time.
So as you look out towards the summer, what are some things coming up for Dynamite Diesel?
We're moving.
That's gonna be
Yeah.
that's cool.
Yeah. Like, so when I first came to Hayden, it was like 2015. And to get to my building, I had to drive by this big black and red building that said Flowmaster exhaust on the front of it. And a couple of years ago, Flowmaster got bought by the Holley Group. They consolidated, moved some things around. So the two Flowmaster buildings down around the street got bought by a gentleman named Rob. Rob has owned them for a couple of years now. He has a tenant that does like ultra high-end like body shop work in one of them. But this building is a monster, and he's only got like 7 employees, and it's on 3 acre, 2.87 acres actually. Well, we haven't been able to host a dyno day or really have good dealer training because I've got this very small building. We've mezzanined it out. Every square inch in here is, I mean, hell, the lunch table for the guys for our team is under a garage door opener that we had to have the garage door guy come out and lift because guys would get up out of the chair from eating lunch and smack their heads on the rail, right? Like we've squeezed every inch of usable space out of this building. The guys are like, bro, the toilet seat's warm every time I go to the bathroom because there's 10 more of us in this building today than there was the day we moved in here and thought we had elbow room. My next door neighbor is really, God bless that guy. He doesn't need his parking lot, so my employees are filling up his parking stalls and my parking stalls. We're out of room, and my electricity, like we're so close to being on the ragged edge of being out of electricity in this building that before the county would allow me to add anything more in the building, they gave us this like amperage data logger thing. And they made us run this data logger to see how much power we were using every day before they would allow us to install another panel and possibly set the building on fire. So the new tools, I've got a pump stand down there that I'm going to use in for like cam box stuff. So semi truck injectors with a big spring on the top of them, those require a cam box. I have all the tools. I can't plug them into my wall because I don't have enough electricity in this building to plug that sucker in. So we've outgrown the building. We've outgrown our power box. The new building is exactly double the square foot, 2.87 acres. So we're going to install like an actual dyno facility. So I'll probably end up with like all three of the. I've really fought with my hub dyno massively badly, and I just can't. It's not good. So we're going to buy another dyno jet, probably just a 224 chassis dyno. And we're going to Chase Fleece actually sold me a backup dyno that he bought long ago. So I'm going to have an engine dyno, chassis dyno, and the hub dyno all right here in town. So when we're doing all the testing and things, it'll just be no matter what the process or project is, we'll have the ultimate way to dyno it. With gas testing, we don't necessarily need a hub dyno. But we do need to have some load, and a Dynojet 224 would be plenty of load for that. So I'll find one of those used. I owned a Dynojet from the year 2000 until I sold it to Donovan, and that dyno is still one of the most accurate tools I've ever been around in my life. So this week I had the guys from Dynojet here, and we talked about a lot of things, looked at my project and my process. Man, it's those guys are doing some amazing work right now. and I'm pretty stoked about what they've got in the works as well. But it this new building is going to be wicked because all of my dealers out there, I don't really have. We used to host dealer training days, which was great because all this new stuff that I tell you about, I was telling them about. And now we don't have any room for it. There's not a square foot here to donate to dealer, you know, training. So soon we're going to have like an actual training room, and we'll be able to host that and have those guys come back out, guys and gals, because, you know, one of the best shop owners on the planet out there, Kat Ray, like she's super sharp. So I don't want to discount her being a girl. And so I don't want to just say guys, because she's definitely technically one of the guys, but yeah, I just miss having dealer training days, really, like, lots of opportunity. And then fortunately for me, like after building my own house, I learned something about construction and who I need to talk to when, you know, to keep all the trades in and flowing through properly. So working with the electricians, the framers and the plumbers and all of it to try and get this thing done. I hope that we're actually in the building doing business by October 1st. Which is really going to make, like, Lenny gets to eat lots of eggs because steak will be way too expensive, and probably some top ramen because it's going to be super tight for a while, like real tight. But, you know, the future is good.
Yeah. Then there's the logistics and the moving of it. But you've talked on the podcast a lot about the business, the people, the machines. And then with the growth, it's just a natural progression, you know, to get more space and keep expanding. And then, gosh, all the projects, things you can work on, it's going to be cool.
You know, I didn't know this till this year, but like we can use China, India, Poland, Russia, Brazil as private companies selling product to an end user consumer. We can use any country on the planet as long as they can do it correctly for good money. We're gonna take advantage of that tool. The United States military has a blacklist. You can't use Chinese parts. You can't use Russian parts. And Russia makes some really high quality parts. And sorry to say, but China also makes some very high quality parts. The European countries metallurgically, their stuff, their nozzles aren't good right now. Nothing coming out of Europe that I've seen has metallurgically been equal to anything good here. But the Chinese product is metallurgically really good. Their case hardening is proper, and they can do things because their country is investing into modern day tools so they can make modern things. I don't trust them to do my holes because where you put the hole is very critical. And if it's wrong, then you have a junk piece, like you got a keychain. So the U.S. military, if you think about it, is a really big business, right? They own a lot of vehicles, like they own a lot of trucks and everything else. Once we get in the business with our own grinders and we can make nozzles, you know, I'm definitely going to go after some military stuff to help out, because then from bar stock that I get out of Seattle to finished product, all of that will happen right here in Idaho. And right now, that's just something I can't help them with because I'm having to buy, you know, parts from other countries that are on their blacklist. So, yeah, this new building on almost 3 acres, there's going to be a day that, you know, we've got a building that's just doing grinding for, you know, really big contracts. I've got another customer who's wanting Cat C15 nozzles, 150 of them a day. Like, that's wow. That's a big chunk. Like, that is... And those are all genuine stock flow. He's not looking for a hot rod. He just wants a high quality part because the stuff that he's getting out of Europe is very hit or miss. So he buys the stuff out of Europe. He sends it here. We balance it. He puts it on his bodies and calibrates the injectors, and down the road he goes. But soon I'm going to be able to just be like, here's your, you know, every week you get this big vat of injectors going his direction, or nozzles, I should say. So yeah, my eyes are wide open, and I'm trying to do everything I can to help out as many people as I can, because man, to be honest, I just feel like super blessed because I've met friends from, you know, like I got a buddy in Australia. I got a buddy that's here in the States that has engineering degrees from like Europe, and I've just got lots of friends that are always trying to help me. So I just want to pass it on and help out other people. And I hell, this morning I woke up and my Australian buddy sent me a message sometime in the middle of the night and was like, here, check out this company. Because right now, VP44, the PSGs and all that stuff on the top of the VP44, Bosch isn't supporting that anymore. There's a shitload of them trucks on the street, and everybody's having to use used parts right now. So I've been seeking somebody to make that thing for us. And now this gave me one more avenue to try and chase down to see if we can supply those parts to all the guys that are trying to reman those, pumps using used junk. So it's a wild time, dude. It is a wild time. Trying to keep old stuff alive is wild.
There's a ton of opportunity out there. It was cool to catch up with you, and I really like that nozzle program. Like I said, seeing those videos was really cool because I could visualize and I could hear the startup difference, and I could see just how quickly it fired up. And then touching on buying the product that you think you are, which is so important. I just happened to see that story on social media today, and I thought I should ask Lenny. He's been doing this a really long time. What's his experience with it? So, best of luck with the move. I know we'll chat way before then, but yeah, I'm really excited for what you have going on and what it's doing for diesel truck owners, the industry, in general, and making these new trucks run better and these old trucks run better.
And I appreciate you on me on the podcast all the time. I really kind of feel like a regular at this point, and it makes me happy because I think that you've got subscribers that are, struggling to keep things alive, and they're struggling for good content and good information and good data. So, thank you again for letting me be on and be a part of what you got. I just appreciate that.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to targetsportsusa.com/dieselPC. If you're into hunting, hitting the range, different competitions, things like that, they've got a really cool membership program. It's $99 a year. That gets you free shipping throughout that whole year, whether you're buying one box or 10 boxes or 50 boxes. And they also have two really cool giveaways that you're automatically entered for a chance to win. The first is an all expense paid hunting trip to Colorado, includes airfare, accommodations, meals, the fee for the hunt, complimentary meat processing, and shipping back to you. Plus, they give away a brand new F-150 every year. So now a lot of you guys are telling me you want to keep miles off your older diesel truck and just be able to have, use it when you need it, but you're looking for something to go point A to point B. It's a great way for a chance to potentially win that. They have a throughout the year you get an instant 8% off on sales plus in-stock notifications if you're looking for something really specific, something that's tough to find where you're at. But they've got a huge sale coming up the 25th where you get 12% off instantly, just right on the website. So make sure and head on over to targetsportsusa.com/dieselPC and you'll find all the information there. If you're in the market for a knife, our friends over at Kershaw Knives have a 40% off MSRP code for you. Go to kershaw.kaiusa.com. Use code 2024DIESEL40. Get 40% off. If you're looking for a knife for hunting, fishing, EDC around the job site, they've definitely got you covered. Also want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters. Tyler Lowen at 23 Diesel, Cutter Up Rob, J. Cole, also Colby, all of our other Patreon supporters, all of you who subscribe on YouTube, podcast apps, follow us on social media. We appreciate all your support here in your aid of the Diesel Podcast and look forward to bringing you guys more of the content that you want to hear in 2024. Till next time, keep the shiny side up.